Welcome to the Chapel Podcast from Start College and Seminary. This semester, our chapel theme is the business of the church, preaching Jesus and practicing justice. We invite you to listen in as pastors and leaders consider how God has called us all to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with Him. Our featured speaker this week is Dr. H. Fritz Williams, pastor of First Baptist Church in Lockhart and senior lecturer of ministry at Start College and Seminary. His message is entitled, Sound the Alarm, Not on My Watch.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am Dr. H. Fritz Williams, part-time faculty here at Stark College and Seminary, as well as pastor of First Baptist Church Lockhart in Lockhart, Texas. The distinction there is a First Lockhart Baptist, but we are First Baptist Lockhart at 514 Netches Street in Lockhart, Texas. It is a pleasure to have been asked by Pastor Tarver, who is our Director of Church Relations, as well as who is serving as Chapel Coordinator, to be able to present here on today. I thank God for opportunity. I also thank Dr. Zalelli and to all of my colleagues and to you as students. It is a blessing to be able to share in chapel today. Shall we pray? Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we just pray now in the name of Jesus that you would touch my mouth, touch my tongue. Most of all, purify my heart and allow my mind to be as Christ. Preach, Lord, speak, Lord, and may the meditation of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and redeemer, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to use on today Ezekiel chapter number 3. Pastor Tarver shared with me what the topic of chapel would be this year. And as we are often called to be prophetic, I've been hearing the chapel messages, and I prayed that I would stay in line with it, seeing the Spirit as it was moving. This passage of scripture was laid upon my heart, and I wanted to share it with us on today, that as we go out in ministry, we might be challenged as well. Ezekiel chapter 3, the passage is 16 through 21 or 27. The focus today is verse number 17, Ezekiel chapter 3, 16 through 21 or 27, with a focus upon verse number 17. Verse 16 and 17 are often clumped or put together. But for emphasis, I want to use 17. Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. For a few minutes on this chapel time, I want to use as a sermon subject or title, Sound the Alarm. Sound the Alarm, Not on My Watch. God has given each of us responsibility to watch, warn of coming danger, and or the consequences of the people's action as well as their attitude. God has given each of us responsibility to watch, warn of coming danger, and to share the consequences of the people's actions and attitude. We should have a renewed, after this message, we should have a renewed responsibility to stand upon the walls of our community and watch and warn. President Barack Obama in 2008 stood before the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, better known as the NAACP, and gave an unexpected challenge to the organization, African Americans as well as America. Barack Obama pressed his call on that day for African Americans to take more personal responsibility for their children and within their communities. He goes on to say, "We got to demand more responsibility from Washington, and we got to demand more responsibility from Wall Street. But you know what," said Obama, who was the presumptive Democratic nominee, "we also have to demand more from ourselves." Now, I know there's some who've been saying, Obama said, "I've been too tough talking about responsibility." He went on, "I'm here to report, I'm never going to stop talking about it, responsibility," he told the crowd. "No matter how much money we invest in our communities, or how many 10-point plans we propose, or how many government programs we launch, none of it will make a difference, at least not enough of a difference, if we don't seize more responsibility in our own lives." President Barack Obama didn't declare he was a prophet. Although he was smooth and provocative, but he did his part by standing upon the tower and warned all of their consequences based upon their attitude and actions and the coming danger ahead. My brothers and my sisters, God appointed you and I as watchmen. Just like he appointed Ezekiel and the prophets of old as watchmen for Israel during a time of destruction, delusion, and division. That God has appointed you and I. He has given you and I that responsibility to stand watch and to stand guard, to look out and to see and to be and to have a perception that will be able to analyze what's coming our way. Why are we to join Ezekiel in standing watch? Some of us have been called to such a task, while others of us must see the importance of community responsibility in standing and sounding the alarm. Like stubborn children refusing to obey their father, the children of Israel often refuse to listen to God. God, always a loving parent, called his children back to obedience. He sent prophets like Ezekiel to preach messages of judgment and restoration. Ezekiel was a priest among the captives taken to Babylon, but now he is being transformed into prophet. And when the Jews were overtaken there in Babylon, God called him to be a prophet, and he began to warn the people that Jerusalem's judgment was not yet complete. Of course, the people didn't appreciate his messages, for they thought he should be preaching comfort and hope. Doesn't that sound like our congregations today? Oh, pastor, you preaching about that thing, sin. Oh, pastor, you're up there talking about we're going to hell and all of that. Oh, pastor, why don't you preach like certain pastors who are in large metroplexes of messages of inspiration, messages of sex, not sex, but success, messages of elevation and rising to the next rung on the ladder. Pastor, don't preach any messages of death and destruction. But pastor, just tell us how successful we're going to be, how much money we're going to make, and what kind of career we could go into. But Ezekiel's predictions came true as Jerusalem eventually was destroyed. We must warn the people no matter what, brothers and sisters. Listen, they recognize, and finally they, Israel, finally recognized and started listening carefully to his preaching. After this, Ezekiel's messages did turn into one of comfort and hope. The worst was past, and it was time to begin again. Oh, my brothers and my sisters who are listening here today, oh, you students who are wrestling with God's call and trying to discern where God is calling you and placing you in terms of ministry and service. Many of us already know what God has called us to do, whether it's to preach his word or whether it's to serve in some form of ministry capacity. But whichever it is, if you hold the standard, which is the Bible, the word of God, we must be able to stand watch upon the walls of the city and to be able to look out and warn the people of what's coming. Now, I know back in that day, a watchman was one who stood upon the wall, who looked out and warned those of the enemy's invasion upon the land. But listen, my brothers and sisters, those days may be gone, but listen, while we still have watchmen in terms of technology in the sky, cameras everywhere, listen, my brothers and sisters, God has placed us and given us the same responsibility that while you stand upon the walls of your church and while you stand upon the walls in your homes and in your communities, God is still telling us to watch and warn and let people know of the coming danger their way. We too have the same challenge as Ezekiel. And that challenge is a three-pronged challenge here in these points. We have a challenge to be watchful. We have a challenge to be prayerful. And then thirdly, we have a challenge to be on our A game. Be watchful, be prayerful, and to be on our A game. Listen, my brothers and sisters, Ezekiel 3:17 tells us about being a watchman and God calling him and appointing him to be a watchman. And some of us are spiritually anointed, and some of us are personally appointed leaders, but all of us are required to be alert to the needs of those they serve. God to Ezekiel and us is for our senses or our consciousness, spiritual consciousness, to become heightened to what's going on around us. I could tell you stories, even when I was serving in youth ministry, how my youth workers would get upset when I start changing things and start keeping girls and boys and girls and girls and boys away from each other. It's because God was warning me. He was giving me the consciousness to know that, hey, there's some invasions of thought as well as of sinful presence of that three-letter word. Ezekiel 3:18 tells us we are personally accountable to God for not living up to our responsibility. And many of us flip responsibility by saying, that's not my responsibility, when actually it is your responsibility. We all come out of communities that will share the responsibility of parenting and caring for one another. No longer can we say, that's not my child. No longer can we say, that's not my responsibility to tell him or her. That's not my responsibility to go and tell my friend, oh, Bob, that, hey, Bob, that the way you said that to that person wasn't right, or the way you treated that person, or you took some money from that person, that wasn't right. But listen, my brothers and sisters, it is our responsibility. Because when many of us come out of those kind of communities, whether it was a small community or whether it was a larger metroplex, to where you had your boroughs or you had your street, and everybody on that street, no matter how long or short it was, knew each other and protected and cared for one another. How many of you as a child or teenager experienced community caretaking? That's when you came home, your parents will divulge information of your whereabouts. And if one learned of someone in the community not being accountable, they were labeled as not trustworthy. And I can remember times I'd go down the street, thought I was getting away with something. Before I knew it, my mama was calling from the back porch, telling me to hurry up and come home. And listen, in a small community, everybody hears the sound of every mama or daddy who's screaming, come on. And when I came home, listen, my brothers and sisters, hey, there was something to be dealt with and done, because Miss So-and-so or cousin so-and-so down the street or Miss Castillo next door saw me doing something I shouldn't be doing, and she told my mother. And listen, I could go to the other side of town and listen, thinking I'm sneaking away from home, trying to get into something. And before I know it, listen, on my way home, here comes my mama's car and say, hurry up and get your butt home. Oh, can I use butt in chapel? I don't know. But thank God I didn't use the other word. Amen. But listen, because there was community caretaking. And listen, because they protected the community, they protected the city of impending danger, not only to the city, but also to individuals. We too must get back to personal accountability, taking care of each one. And I believe that's what Jesus means for us when he not only says, two commandments I now give to you, to love the Lord thy God with thy heart, mind, body, and soul. And listen, the second one is this, to love thy neighbor as thyself. To listen, what I want for me, I also want for my neighbor. And what my neighbor should want also for me. Secondly, he tells Ezekiel to be prayerful, to be watchful, to be prayerful. Isaiah 62 and 7 says this, and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Or verse 6, listen, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. My brothers and sisters, listen. Watchmen are not only required to be on the lookout for coming danger, but they are also to remain prayerful. Not only to be on the lookout, but also to be prayerful. Listen, the New Living Translation says this in verse in Isaiah 62 and 6. The New Living Translation says this, O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night, continually. Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord. We must stay prayerful over our community. There was a time when we would join together in church-wide prayer, community prayer, and corporate prayer. Days are passing us by as we are engulfed in a modern day that causes us to drift from coming together. We have to get back to that, my brothers and sisters, to where our cities will not be no greater as the watchmen and women who come together in prayer. Listen, Philippians 1 and 4 says this, whenever I pray, I make requests for you with joy. We've got to get along. We got a long way to go when it comes to relationships with others. This modern day has taken for granted what the Bible says about loving your enemies and doing good to those who despitefully use you. But Paul shows us the high road and says with joy, I pray for you and offer your respects, request up to God. I pray for you and offer your request up to God. Can I ask you a question? Have you lost your joy for prayer? Have you lost your passion for praying? Have you lost your love for God? And if you lost your love for God, then it applies to your relationship with others. Your relationship with God is important. Your communication with Him is at utmost risk when your relationship with Him is severed and not together. If your relationship with God is not together, then your relationship with others is not together as well. You can't be fully joyful in God and hate your Christian brothers and sisters or humanity. This is not a Democratic or Republican issue. And I know sometimes in our denominations and in our little political parties within our denomination, we try to make that an issue. But listen, it's no issue with God. Love is love. Praying and caring for one another is the responsibility of a watchman, regardless of if he's white, black, or Hispanic, or brown, or whether he's African-American or American, or whether he's a Hindu, or whether he's African, it doesn't matter. Listen, we must love each other and be prayerful. And every time I hold the hand of someone, I find joy in praying for that person, even if there is tension. You know that tension is when they really don't feel like you holding their hand, or if it's someone of another race, they're not sure if they can really trust you, and they don't really want to hold your hand. But regardless, my brothers and sisters, find joy in it. And even if they don't want to hold your hand, the watchman's joy is to still be prayerful, because it is his responsibility. And the watchman must pray without ceasing and be given to prayer at all times. But the watchman must also seek to be at his best, his or her best, at all times. Not only are we to be watchful, not only are we to be prayerful, but we also are to be on our A game. My cousin used to always tell me that anytime we'd have a funeral of a classmate. My cousin has been somewhat successful in business, and I'm pretty sure in running his company, that's probably something that he always says within his meeting with his team. We got to be on our A game. When he comes down and we have a funeral, if I'm up to do the funeral of a classmate or if I'm leading the worship, he says, then preacher, I need to know, are you on your A game today? And listen, can I tell you this? As successful as you want to be, there will come times of failure. God warns Ezekiel of the consequences of not being on his A game as a watchman. Yet God has throughout antiquity revealed to us what happens to those who live lackluster lives and have a disregard for their responsibility. The lack of concern or sympathy failing to save or preserve life is comparable to negligent homicide. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, don't fail at your responsibility, for if you do, you will be judged as the ones you're being sent to warn and to watch out for. I don't want to fall down as a watchman. I don't want to be seen as a failure as a watchman. And even sometimes, even as I'm teaching you as students there at Stark College and Seminary, at Stark College and Seminary, listen, my brothers and sisters, sometimes I know we have material that we're trying to get through in terms of a book, in terms of an outline, in terms of maybe something that we have knowledge of, and it is our expertise. But listen, when it comes to the Word of God and we see something in the Word of God, it's still our responsibility to stand as watchmen and to warn you, so that as you do your ministry, or even as you go about in your own personal life with God, fulfilling the call and even answering the call, you will be warned. The alarm will be sounded so that you can make decisions. So if Acts 20 and 28 says, so guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. We as leaders must watch over our own lives, that we too don't live below the expectation of those we lead. Now, I know in this modern time, the spotlight is often on the highlighted, yet our lives are to be lived in a way that is pleasing to God. And when you live in humility, God always has his spotlight on you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15 through 16. Let me just paraphrase it here. It says, stay true to what is right. Many of us go back and forth. Can I tell you something? Stay with what you know is right and don't get caught up with every wind and doctrine. Keep a watch over how you are really living. Well, as I conclude here, and I'm pretty sure I've been too long, good thing this is done doing via video in a sense, and I don't have to look over at Pastor Tarver putting his hand up or coming up pulling my coattail saying, preacher, it's time to let it go. Let me conclude here by saying this. If we are to be faithful and successful at our post on the wall, continue to be watchful, continue to be prayerful, and continue to be on your A game. And there are times on our post we lose focus because nothing is happening and we've been watching for some time, regardless if the enemy or there is no evidence of movement beyond the walls. Keep your eyes extended beyond the walls for lost souls, wayward servants, and the return of other believers from ministry and war beyond the walls. Don't be discouraged, but maintain a posture of prayer that while you are on the wall watching, it may be your prayer that will give strength to those beyond the wall. Lastly, but not least, I'd say that as a Baptist preacher, certainly Black Baptist preacher, last but not least, that's the second time. Last but not least, that's the third time. Let's go on and take it home. Make sure you don't become lazy. Don't make sure you don't become bored and stagnant at your post. But maintain availability. Understand the importance of your assignment. And remember, you possess the ability to do above and beyond your call to duty. And stay alert and awake, and don't let nothing get by you. Remember, your call requires integrity, honesty, faithfulness, willingness to fight for the cause of Christ and bear his name with pride. There is a story told of a general who decided to examine his soldiers after the sergeant had gotten everybody in line, the lieutenant performed his check, and the captain and the colonel performed their roll call to make sure everything was right for the general. And as the general came in, for some strange reason, he didn't stand above his post, but he came down amongst them. And listen, that's the sign of a good general, when he can come amongst his soldiers and wants to look his own soldiers in the eye. Good God Almighty. And walking by each soldier, he noticed, for some reason out the corner of his eye, the watchman. At his post was sleeping. He ran up the wall and addressed the soldier by barking as loud as he could, "Son, what is your name?" The soldier, startled, addressed the general by giving his name to the general. Surprised, the soldier's name was the same as the general. General shouted, raised his shoulders back, and he said, "Son, if you're going to bear that name, you're going to have to live up to that name. And if you're not going to be alert and careful, listen, change your name." Oh, my brothers and sisters, that speaks volume to us today again, hearing this message. We are called to be watchmen on the wall in the various places God has called us to. And if we who are called Christians, if we can't be alert and careful, then maybe you need to change your name. The name we bear reflects the one who paid the sin debt upon the cross of Christ. Called Cross of Calvary, and whom God raised from the dead on the third day with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. That name signifies who we are willing, who we are following, and the way we have chosen to follow. Though we may be mocked, ridiculed, and scorned, we bear the name. Jesus is his name, and Christian is what they call all who follow the way of Christ. You and I bear a great name, oh, my brothers and sisters, and we must stand tall on the wall and watch and proclaim on the wall. And if we are not willing to perform our duty on the wall and represent what it means to be a Christian and a child of God and a follower of Jesus Christ, then sit down and change your name.
Thank you for joining us for the Chapel Podcast from Stark College and Seminary. Stark College and Seminary prepares men and women to serve in the church and community all across South Texas, with teaching locations in Corpus Christi, McAllen, Victoria, and San Antonio. To learn more about us, you can visit stark.edu or find us on social media at Stark College.